Welcome, and thank you for joining the J to the Third podcast, featuring 30-year PGA professional Joey Hickman. This show will highlight golfers from Tennessee and beyond with stories of faith, fairways, and philosophies of teaching and coaching, both golf and life. You will be challenged, entertained, and encouraged by the guests on today's show. J to the Third stands for a lot of Jesus, a lot of joy, and a little bit of Joey. And now, let's welcome our host, Joey Hickman.
Today's show is being brought to you by Steve Kirkpatrick and Kirkpatrick Golf. Kirkpatrick Golf is a full-service golf shop located in Nashville, Tennessee. More appropriately, beautiful downtown Donelson, Tennessee. It is owned and operated by PGA professional Steve Kirkpatrick, a close friend. Steve has been working in the golf equipment business since 1986. He offers instruction, custom club fitting utilizing the Ping fitting system with irons and woods, any type of club repair, anything that you need done, Steve can do it. And you know what? If you drop something off to get it re-gripped, he's going to have same-day service. And if you drop something off that needs to be reshafted, if he's got the shaft in stock, he will take care of it that day for you. He's that type of person. When's the last time you've heard something like that? That's refreshing. Thank you, Steve. Go by and see my friend Steve at Kirkpatrick Golf, located at 2547 Lebanon Pike, Nashville, Tennessee. Phone number 615-760-5810. Welcome to J to the Third podcast. Y'all are in for a treat today. I have four of my dearest friends that are going to come on, and we're going to talk golf. We're going to talk about the Masters. We're going to talk about our picks, and we're going to have a good time. Joining us on the podcast is Robert Sutphin. Robert works at West Haven Golf Club down in Franklin, Tennessee. Tommy Baxter, head golf professional at Brentwood Country Club, newly renovated Brentwood Country Club. Doug Wirt, who is a career consultant with the PGA of America in the Georgia section, and Steve Shelton, a member at one of the finest clubs in Nashville, Tennessee, and a wonderful golfer in his own right. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hey, thank you, Jerry.
Hey, good to be with you.
So let's have a little fun. We got the Masters coming up, and I don't know who won the golf tournament today. Does anybody have that information?
Aksha Bhatia.
I watched him make that putt on 18 to stay tied, and I cut the TV off. My wife goes, "What are you doing?" I said, "I don't want to jinx him. He's got to win to get to Augusta." Man, what a round of golf Denny McCarthy put together today, huh? 8 birdies on the last 9 holes to shoot 9 under to catch him. And if you're Aksha Bhatia and you tell yourself the night before the final round, "Hey, I think I'm going to shoot 68 tomorrow. I got a 5-shot lead. Everything's good. I'm probably going to win by 4 or 5. And you shoot 5 under par instead of 4 under par, and you got to go to a playoff. What a incredible tournament.
Amen.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
And have to burn.
So let's click that one off. That was a great finish, but I don't know if you noticed who finished third in that event today, but this guy has slowly been getting his game put together. Mm-hmm. One Rory McIlroy. Who on this call tonight thinks that Rory might finally be able to knock this off and become a winner of the Grand Slam? Anybody got Rory?
I would take Rory. If I got first pick, I'm picking Rory. I know he went see Garmin last. I heard him talking about going to see Butch here lately and working on some things. So maybe that might put him over the top. I hope so.
All right. We'll let Robert's first pick be Rory McIlroy. Tommy, who's your first pick?
I mean, I got to go with the best ball striker in the world, the chalk pick, Scottie Scheffler.
Oh, he stole mine.
There's a tough
pick. Stole mine too.
Hey, we can all agree that Scottie's probably going to be number one. Doug Wirt. Scotty, your number one?
Scotty was my number one. Yeah, he was.
Have you seen anybody with that kind of foot action hit the ball that solid every time?
I think it's amazing, yeah, that he can hit the ball that well with that foot action.
The guy is just a machine. And for everybody listening, Scotty's a believer. You got 5 believers on this podcast right now, talking golf. Obviously, we'd love to see Scotty win. Steve, you're number one, Scotty Scheffler?
Yeah, well, Scotty was my number one, but let me talk about – you talked about some events that – you know, I've been to Augusta a few times, man. It's my favorite place on earth. And I got to take Tracy to the women's amateur this year, and she now understands why I love the place so much. So, but I'm going to give you another guy I'd love to see win it, man, is Jordan Spieth. You know, he's top 10, top 20 regular, but he needs a breakthrough, man.
Another good pick. If he gets it, if he gets that putter hot, he's going to be tough to beat. Yeah. You know, he just is. I do think Scotty is, man, he's by far the best player on the planet right now. I don't know who's coming over from Liv. I think Rahm will be there. Brooks Koepka, Bryson DeChambeau. There'll be a couple of heavy hitters that might be able to play that golf course pretty well. But I think I'd have to go with Scotty Scheffler as my number one. So, there, Robert, don't feel bad. That's 4-1, Scotty Scheffler to Rory McIlroy. But, hey, we're going to get three picks. So
let's, I'm not – I wouldn't pick him.
All right, so
amateur on the since I'm the only amateur on the call, I think it's Roy's got the same problem us amateurs have. He wants to win it so bad. Yeah. It's hard to overcome, man.
You know, yeah. a good friend to Tennessee Golf, Brant Snedeker, he wanted it so bad it kept getting in his way.
Yes.
You know, and I do think Rory really wants this event. It's not like he's just trying to win a golf tournament. He really wants to win the Masters. And all things about the Grand Slam, that I don't think it really means that much to him, but he would get that. That would be incredible. But we'll see. Let's go around for round two. Robert Sutphin, who's your number two?
My number two, you know, I guess I probably – is it wrong if I put Scotty Scheffler as my number two?
Nope. Yeah. Because here's what's going to happen. We're going to look at to see how the top three finishers were and see if anybody on this call happened to hit all three of them.
No, I guess I would like to – someone, I guess, that's playing fairly well would be maybe Max Homa. I think he's got – if he can get his putter going, he hits it long enough, that kind of thing. He would be a fun pick to have to see win. I think he would be, I'd like to see him win.
That's a good pick. Good pick. Tommy, who's your number two?
My number two would probably be Mr. Major Championships, the guy who let it slip away a little bit last year, Brooks Koepka. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to come in with a little bit more of a desire to get revenge from last year.
I'm sure that will go a long way with him. That guy's got ice water running through his veins. You know, he just does. Looks cool as a cucumber. His dad used to play in my member guest at Old Hickory years ago, and he used to brag on his son. And he goes, "You'll hear of him someday." And I'm like, "Yeah, right. Everybody tells me that." 5 years later, Koepka's out on the European tour. And I said, well, I guess he's right. Wow. Heck of a player. That's a good pick. That's a real good pick. Doug, who's your number two?
I have my number two, someone who's been close a few times as well, is Xander Schauffele.
Yeah.
Wow. Yep. We're bringing out the heavy hitters. I like yes, that. Sir. All of these guys are long ball hitters too. There are no finesse guys in any of this. That's good. Good stuff. Steve?
All right. Here we go. I'm going to have to go to the latest one to go to the Live Tour, man. John Rahm, man. He's got the game to win there.
Yeah, he's proven that.
Yeah.
Is he defending champ? Who won last year?
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Good call.
Yeah.
I don't think he's got a snowball's chance to repeat, but I do like him. That's good. Hey, I'm going to throw a name at you that you may not be thinking. Somebody that hits it long. Straight and a great putter, Wyndham Clark.
Oh yeah,
Wyndham Clark. I think he's prime. He's not afraid. You saw what he did at LA Country Club last year to win the Open.
He's played well.
What a great player.
He's played well so far this year too.
Yeah, great player. And we'll see. All right, round three. Robert, you want to lead us off again?
Well, I was going to say Wyndham Clark because I kind of had him in my on my mind because of just but man, I don't trying to throw some names in, around in my head that would have a chance. You know, might sound crazy, but Bryson DeChambeau, if he can keep between his ears, I think he might have a good chance to win if he can putt. I know he has the odd putting stance and stroke and all that stuff, but even though it's a live guy, he might have a chance. Him as a dark horse.
That's a good pick. Tommy, who's your number three?
So number three, I think, you know, experience goes a long way at Augusta. Right-handers don't hit draws anymore. So I'm going to go with experience and a lefty guy who I think finished tied for second last year, Phil Mickelson.
Oh, that's right. He did, didn't he?
He did. Yep.
Finished second.
And I knew we should have put a quarter on this or something because I don't think anybody would pick lefty if that had to put any money in there.
Come on, that would be my sentimental favorite, man.
I like your moxie. I like that a lot. Yeah, I can bang it.
About another lefty, yeah. Bubba. Think he in the tank to ever win again?
Bubba's had some injuries the last year or so, so I don't know if his game is back yet. But I think he's a two-time winner. You can't discount him, you know. Doug, who's your number three?
So I'm going to pick someone who will be playing in his third Masters. It's his third appearance in the Masters. And in his first two starts at Augusta, you know, he finished runner-up and then one stroke behind Hideki. That's Will Zalatoris.
Okay.
Wow, that's strong. I didn't even have him on my radar, but he has been peaking.
Yes, yeah, and I know he had, you know, some injury, but, you know, I he's played well both times he's played there. So I think he's got that course's number. He's just got to, you know, finish it.
That's awesome. Good pick. Steve, number three.
All right. I got another lefty, man, but y'all going to have to help me with the name, man. A guy that waggles a lot.
Brian Harmon.
Yeah.
Good.
Sir Waggles a lot. That's what we'll call him now. It's a good pick. I mean, guy won the Open.
He's a good George boy, too.
Yes.
Guy won the Open. That's incredible. All right. My number three. Didn't put a lot of thought behind this, but you got to go with somebody that can bomb it and somebody that can putt. And I don't know if this guy can do it this week, but I'm gonna label him as a possible contender, Justin Thomas.
Yeah.
He's peaking. I don't know if he's gonna peak at Augusta. I hope I didn't jinx him and make him miss the cut, but man, that'd be a wonderful, wonderful thing. All right. Everybody got three picks. I'm gonna throw everybody a mulligan. If you could pick somebody out of the field, not that you think they're gonna win, but somebody that you want them to win this event because it's the Masters, who would it be and why?
I've got Woods.
Boom. Boom. That's big time right there. That'd be fun to see that again. Robert, who would you pick and why?
I would pick Ricky Fowler.
Yeah. Sentimental.
Love it. Just because of monkey off of his back. Because for a long time he took the heat of but that he couldn't win and he was overrated and that kind of thing. And I think he's a real testament of what PGA pro guy he should be.
Yeah. I think
about it behind the scenes.
That's a good pick.
Good pick. I would like to see him win.
Good. Tommy?
Tiger Woods? Nothing is better for the game of golf when he wins. And, you know, he's the reason I started in this game. And I'd love for him to win every year. Still wouldn't get tired of it.
Mm-mm. Me neither.
It's fun to watch him when he's on at Augusta because he's got all the shots.
Yep.
You know, he's one of those guys that just makes you go, wow. Doug, who's your dark horse? Who would you want to win?
I'd say sentimentally, because, you know, it would get that, you know, thing off his back, is just to see Rory win, you know,
yeah,
to have him finally get, you know, his Masters and Grand Slam and, you know, get to the point he can enjoy it more while he's there in the future, you know.
Good. Real good. Steve?
Yep. All right. I already told you mine now. You know, several years back, I got to play with Phil. And honestly, on a golf course with an amateur, he was a good guy. And I would love to see him win again, man.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. All right. I'm going to really throw a kink into this. I'm going to go out of this guy can't win. But if I could pick somebody that I would want to win and why, it would be Bernhard Langer, because he can't hit it. He can't hit it far enough to win, but by golly, he can hit it far enough to scrap it around there and be around the cut line every year. And he's 67, 66.
Wow.
Great story. Wonderful, devout Christian man. And it would just make a story among stories, you know. I'd love to see him win. Anybody got a story about Augusta that they want to share? That I'm going for the first time Wednesday and Thursday, and maybe I'll look for something like what you maybe have experienced. Steve, I know you just went down to the women's AM and took Tracy and turned her on. So
yeah, let me back up one, man. Courtney's been with me down there 6 or 7 times. And other than watching Courtney play golf, going down there with Courtney is hard to beat, because both of us love golf. We love to watch good players, and we love to be in a great place. And all of those things happen there. And we've just had great memories being there. And so, yeah, it's just a special place, man.
I was lucky enough to have a great uncle that lived in Augusta and worked for a company that had tickets. So as a kid, we would get to go, or my father would go to the tournament, and I would always go to the practice round. And back then, the practice rounds, Monday was $5. Tuesday was $10. And Wednesday was $15. And my dad would drive me to the gate and let me out, and I would stand there in the dark until the gates opened and pay my $5, and I would run all over that place.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
I remember the first time I went through the gate at number 1 on a Monday practice round, and I was maybe 8 years old, 9 years old. And the first person I saw walking up the fairway playing number 1 when it was just barely daylight was Gary Player. And I thought to myself, I'm as big as he is. That was my first thought. Yeah. I'm as big as he is. I can play this game.
That's awesome.
That was the first.
That's awesome. Doug?
I first got to go in 97, the year Tiger ran away with it. But I had just – I'd just gotten a new job at Penn State University Golf Courses as general manager, director of golf. But prior to that, I'd worked at the TPC at Southwind in Memphis as the head professional. So working for the PGA Tour as a head professional, every year I got the money clip that the players got. So it was still in that year, had my money clip from that year, and was able to get in the front gate, go park in the players' parking lot, had an opportunity to, with my money clip, to be able to get inside the clubhouse, see everything inside the clubhouse. And it was just an amazing experience to be able to get to see all of that, that one time. And I'd gone because my brother-in-law invited me. My brother-in-law had his own company in Memphis, a logistics company. And every year he treated his top clients to a week at the Masters, rented a house and all that. And he's like, you got a air mattress, you got a place to stay. So, and then, you know, him taking me around the first time, going in and buying stuff in the shop, you know, and him telling me to buy a chair. And I had no idea why to buy a chair. you know, I had no idea why. I kept asking him why. I can't get that on the plane home and all that. He would buy a chair. So he bought a chair, you know, and he says, write your name on it. Write my name on it. Go over to 18. And I see all the chairs sitting around 18. I'm like, what the, you know? And he says, where do you want to sit later? I'm like, what? Where do you want to sit later? I said, here, put your chair down. You know, we come back later. Chair's there. Nobody's touched it. Nobody's sitting in it. And it was when it was really my first opportunity to truly see a lot of the traditions and how great the event is.
Amen. Hey, yeah. Joe, if you'll let me add to that one. Courtney and I, over the last several times we went, we sit right in the corner of where you come off of 15 and go to 16. Right in the corner. We put, I got two chairs. We put the two chairs down and we would go buy sometimes gifts for people. We bring them back, lay them in the chairs. Everything else we got, we lay in the chairs. We go back to the first tee. We watch them tee off the old guys teeing off the first time. Then we work around. When finally they make it back to 16, we go, all our stuff's still there, and we sit down and have a ball. And it is amazing. It's the only place basically on earth you could lay down all that stuff and it'd be there when you come back.
That's right.
It is a phenomenal place. Yeah.
True.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, Steve, I got a good one for you. My dad and I were there in 90 or 91. Mm-hmm. But it was late in the day, very late in the day. And we were, you know, that there's one small grandstand that kind of is in between 13 green and 14 tee, kind of back in there.
Yep.
And we were sitting there late in the day. I mean, it was my dad and I and maybe four other people, maybe.
Yep.
We were just sitting there watching people play 13 for the last time. Mm-hmm. So we watch, and I knew who Phil Mickelson was because he was the same age as me.
Yeah.
And I knew he'd won the amateur the year before and that kind of thing. So I really wanted to see him. And we thought he was coming up 13. So we're just sitting there, and my dad liked to talk to anyone. He was worse than me. So he starts a conversation with the guy in front of us, talking, blah, blah, blah. The guy looks at me and he says, who would you like to see win? And I said, well, I said, come to think of it, I said, I'm kind of the same age as the guy that the amateur, Phil Mickelson. I'd really love to see him win. I said, that would be a great story. He kind of laughed and he said, well, that's funny. He said, why don't you tell his mom and his sister right here? They'd probably like to see him win. There's his mom and his sister were sitting right in front of us. So they talked to them. They wanted to know where we were from and, you know, where they were from. And he plays 13. He's by himself walking. I think it was his golf coach, maybe even caddy in Arizona. So they walk up. And he walks up to in the grandstands and says hi to his mom and his sister and stuff. And, you know, they hug and then he said, hello, how are you? And I said hello to him. And then he turned around and hit one off 14 and kept walking. That's pretty cool. It was neat.
How's that? What a great story.
All right, cool. Jim, if you'll let me, I got two more little quick stories, man. One's about 13. So Courtney and I over there in that grandstand that Robert's talking about. The play for the day is over. Security guard walks up to me and he goes, you know, y'all got to leave. I said, well, we're going to leave. But I want her to see him mow 13 fairway from the tee box to the green in one swipe with like 13 or 15 mowers. And then they done. Mm-hmm. And so he said, okay, y'all can do that. And they come in with all those mowers and one swing it's amazing to see, you know, every other golf course in the world, you know, they got maybe two or three mowers themselves, man. They run in it from side to side one time downhill and done. It's just fascinating. All right, and this one's for Tommy. Courtney and I standing behind eight green one day. Tiger Woods' mom steps up right beside Courtney.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I
called Tita.
I said, Courtney, Tiger's mom. Courtney said, that's not Tiger's mom, Dad. I said, Tiger's mom. And so we there, Tiger hits it on the green in two. He's got like a 12, 13-foot eagle putt. He misses the putt. Miss Tiger's mom goes, oh, Tiger. Courtney looks at me and said, Tiger's mom, Dad.
All right, Tommy, you got one?
The only time I've ever gone was 2011. It was a Tuesday practice round, and y'all probably can't even remember who won in 2011.
Nope.
Charles Schwartzel.
Schwartzel.
And
birdied the last two holes.
Yeah. And, you know, the only thing that I can really remember about it was just the pristine conditions of the course. Not one blade of grass is out of place. And Joey, when you go there, you need to get almost everything on the menu because it'll only cost you about $25.
Yeah.
But you got to get you an egg salad. You got to get you pimento cheese. You got to get some barbecue. And it's one of the few events that I've ever been to that I think lives up to all the hype. Amen. And just like the stories that you guys told, you know, no other sporting event in the world can you go and leave something and come back 2 hours later and it still be sitting there. And it's just all of those things that just make that place and that event so special. And I can't wait to go back again.
Amen.
Y'all are whetting my appetite. I'm going to hook up to the pimento cheese intravenously. And that's one of my favorite snacks I can have. So I'm looking forward to that. $1.50 for a thick pimento cheese. I'm in. I'll do it. All right. I'm going to make y'all's appetite wet for just a minute. My college roommate, was asked to join 2 years ago, and he's got a green jacket, and he's promised to take me there at some point. So, Bill, if you're listening, I'm ready. I promised you to wash your car anytime that I ever saw you, so I'll make good on that. I'll even wash it in Augusta's parking lot if you want me to. But I want to play. I don't want to just go there. I want to play there. And going Wednesday and Thursday is just going to whet my appetite to want to go back and play. So I'm hopeful that will happen.
Amen.
Amen.
That'll be a good time. Well, gentlemen, thank you for coming on. I will make sure that all of our picks are registered. And if anybody happens to have picked the winner, we're just going to have to do this all the time. If all of our guys miss the cut, we won't do this for the next major. We'll just say, well, you know, I think we'll just skip that. Just go right on. But thank you all for your time. Thank you for your wisdom. Thanks for coming on Jay to the Third podcast. And thank all of you for listening. I hope that you would leave us a review. If you like the show, if you dislike the show, send me a comment. The email address is in the information below. And I'd love to hear from you so that we can get better. Have a blessed day. We will see you back on Jay to the Third next week.
Thank you for joining the Jay to the Third podcast today. Joey can be reached by email at ohccjsh@gmail.com. Feel free to leave comments, suggestions, questions, or inquiries about joining the show as a guest. Special thanks to the supporters and sponsors of our show.